Welcome to We Watch Too Much TV, the weekly podcast where two real-life best friends dish on all the TV content they've been binging in their remote work-based lives. Babbling about everything from scripted television to reality TV and film, these two besties will immerse you in their quirky universe of streaming. Here are your hosts, Jocelyn and Tanea.
Why you all in my grill? In grill. Can you pay my bills? Can you pay my bills? Let me know if you will. Let me know. Cause a chick got to live. Chick like me has got to live.
You better hit that note, Nicole Ray.
Did you like my ad libs? I threw the ad libs in there too. I did the whole shebang. Hi, guys. Welcome back to We Watch Too Much TV, season 4, episode 12.
Yes. Every time I hear season 4, I think of season 4. We in the door. Sorry, making a band. I'm sorry.
Oh, but that's
season 4. I'm
weak. Not you showing your age with that one.
But we are in the door. We are.
Season 4, we're in the door. How have you been, best friend?
Good. Had a good 3-day Memorial weekend for my people who have to go back into the office when it's a new week. It's always like we had a great, and now we have summer Friday. So my days end at Friday at 1 p.m. So I'm like, okay, goodbye.
Yes, that's amazing.
Yes, how are you and baby girl?
Yes, baby girl is growing and taking up space in my cervix. And it is painful, but I'm just enjoying the last bit of meetum. That's going to be my new word for freedom, meetum.
I love that.
Yes, because I'm a Reddit girl. So I'll be on Reddit and all these different like little groups. And one group I joined, I'm in one group that's like new parents and then another one that's like mom it. The new parents one, there was one thread that it was like, if you could have another child and they could have one superpower, what would it be? Literally everyone said that have a child where they would sleep fully through the night. I'm like, Lord, what am I getting myself into? So I'm just, enjoying. I mean, but honestly, I don't know why. I just have this really positive feeling about my daughter and the baby that she's going to be. And I just don't feel like she's going to be that. Like, I just don't feel like she's going to be that burdensome. Like, I feel like, you know, if she wakes up during the night, like it's like, one, I'm a light sleeper. So it's like, if she wakes up in the night, I'll know. And I'll be like, oh, hey girl, come on, let's give you some food, nipple time. And then, you know, she'll drift back to sleep. And I just don't see her being like a crying baby either. Like, you know, like she'll cry periodically or a little, hey, change my diaper, give me some food. But I just don't see her being extra with it. And I just really feel that way. And I know that positive outlooks result in positive results.
Yes. And she's going to be amazing. She's going to be nice and calm and ready for the world.
Ready for the world, like the group. All right. But in the meantime, too, I've really just been home. Y'all know, nesting, prepare for the baby on this bed rest. So I've just been watching television. So much television, girl. I'm even now up to The Great American Bake Off.
Yes. You're getting into the good TV.
Yes. And my mother is so proud. She knew I was recording a Marco Polo video and it was on pause. And when she responded, she was like, was that The Great American Bread? My mom is addicted to every baking show. So yes, I'm now into the baking content, but I literally had to turn it off just now because I was like, okay, now I want a Cinnabon. So you know how my rule with the cooking shows, I got to pay myself because it will make me hungry and I need to eat. So yes, on that note, let's go ahead and get right into our weekly grab. best friend, what's first on your list?
So first on my list, it is the season of season finales. Everything is ending, or like the spring shows are coming to the end, so the summer shows can come out. And it was the season finale of Mr. Will Trent. Like, this is like one of my top three favorite new shows. It is so good. And I love thinking that, like, I know what's going on, but it's just really good writing. And like the main character is so convincing. And the season finale, there was like a serial killer. And then they find out it was a woman. And then they find out it was a young woman, and she's connected to one of the detectives, but the detective lies and like covers it. And then they end up getting arrested and Will Trent is involved. It was just, it was tugging at my heartstrings. It was so sweet. It was so deep. It's just such a good show. It comes back next season. Because of the writer's strike, once again, it just messed up a lot of my scripted shows. And you know, I'm a scripted girl. I love my shows.
Right.
So a lot of them are ending early, but they're coming back next year, like 18 weeks straight, like no breaks, because they owe it to us, because they only gave us 10, 12 episodes this year. So it's just really good, really suspenseful. I can't wait till it comes back. I know he's in Puerto Rico, but if you just want something, and a lot of people catch up during the off season. So if you have time and want a good show, I'm telling you, Will Trent is such a good like detective, SVU, CSI, with a little bit of like Grey's Anatomy emotion. So yes.
Okay. All right. Listen, I know you love your Will Trent and your...
Yes.
I know you love your drama series. I actually got into a scripted series in the last week, and it's on Amazon Prime. It's called Them. People might have heard of it. It's a thriller. It gives kind of like American Horror Story mixed a little with like Lovecraft Country, the Black History part of it, and then just chilling terror, drenched in like Black history pain.
Drenched in black.
I started watching it because, you know, I'm always on Twitter. I saw a conversation on Twitter about it, and I was like, all right, I need to give this show a try. So I know it's produced by Lena Waithe and, you know, a good ensemble. So I was like, all right, I'm gonna check it out. So I go to watch the first episode. Mind you, I already knew I wasn't going to watch this show at nighttime, because I know me. I don't watch American Horror Story when it's good, because I haven't watched this last season with Kim Kardashian and stuff. I only watch the good ones. But typically with that show and like Stranger Things, I will watch them during the day, because I know me. I'm a thug, but I'm also a punk ass bitch when it comes to thriller content. So I watch it during the day.
100%. I ain't watching it. Don't turn it on.
Okay. So I started watching it during the day. And when I tell you, within 5 minutes, I was like, oh no, I gotta give this a break. It was just too, it scared me during the day. Mm. So I thugged it out. It took me a couple of days. I came back to it. And I was like, all right, I'm happy I did. Cause it is good. So it's spooky, but it takes on like horror, racism. It's like the story, because they're in season two now, but I start shows from the first season if it's a scripted show. So I'm in season one. It's following a family that moved to Compton in the 1950s while it was still all white. So it's following this the Black migration from the South, which a lot of us Black people, like our grandparents, will be like, yeah, I'm from South Carolina, or I'm from Texas or here, but then they ended up in New York or California. So at this time, this is when it was happening. So they move into this house in Compton. But if you know the history of Compton, Compton was white. And then they started moving out when more Black people started coming. So you're seeing the community not be welcoming to this first Black family in Compton at all. Then the house they move into, it seems like, mind you, I haven't finished it, so I'm still taking it in day by day because it's scary as hell. But the house is like haunted. So then it's like they're dealing with the haunted and some kind of spirit force in the house. Then they're in this racist community. Then the husband, his job, he's also, of course, dealing with racism, you know? microaggressions, all of that. That's just so much more prevalent back then. Then you see the stress of it all taking a toll on the family. And then we see how that plays out in like this super spooky spiritual way. A ton of symbolism as it relates to just racism in America with just this element of chill and fear. So super, super dope show. Like I said, if you're into the American Horror Stories, the Stranger Things, Lovecraft Country, this is a good show to check out. It took me some time, but I finally got to it and I'm like, okay, I'm glad I did, but I'm still taking my time with it because baby, I don't be just trying to scare myself. I will turn on Gordon Ramsay instead. Okay. Okay. But yeah,
listen, so if you're scared, I know I'm not watching it.
Yeah, so. I will keep you in the loop because I know Tamia's she's not. Not one bit. What's not that on your weekly grab?
Next on my weekly grab is an oldie but goodie. I love that the streaming services are just bringing back shows that are no longer on TV because it's like a brand new audience. So it's a newer show to me on Netflix. It's White Collar. I've seen like a couple episodes of the show, but I've never seen it like all the way through. I'm up to season 2 and I'm addicted. One, it's a good show to pay attention to, but if I'm like cleaning and stuff, it's also a good show to listen to. And so I like shows that like I could, it's still entertaining and I don't have to like watch it, but it's basically about a professional thief forger, like art. He's like a criminal and he's really good at forging art, stealing stuff. And he goes to jail. Only one detective in like his years of doing it has caught him twice, but he needs his like expertise. So he's on like a work program where he works with a detective and he gets to stay out on like house arrest. And you just see how they bust through cases. He's so charming and it's so crazy because he's so handsome, so charming. And then in real life, I didn't know he has the cutest husband and like the cutest little boys. It's this cutest little gay family. And I'm like, oh, I love him. But it's just so cute with like the banter. Then you have this detective who loves his wife and she's such an ass. It's just a really different type of detective show. I like my little crime shows. I be feeling like I be solving shit. Like, I would never be a cop or a detective because I can't stomach that stuff. But I just like watching it because I feel like I'm solving something. And when I be right, I'm like, I told you, he did it in the closet with the shoe. So it's just a really good show with 6 seasons. Sometimes when I notice like they're doing it with Suits, that's what Princess Meghan Markle. On they're bringing it back like a spinoff of it. So when people start watching these shows that come back and there's like a want for it, they usually bring it back in some sort of way. So we'll see. It's a good, you know, it's just a good show that I've been watching. That I was like, what am I watching that like I haven't talked about? White Collar. So
White Collar is the one.
Yes,
it's, well, I'm here for it. Yeah, I do like detective investigative shows, and especially ones that I could like take it in slow. Like, I still watch Supernatural on Netflix. That one I'm near the end of it. Finally, I'm like in season 12 going into 13. It's only 15. It's 15 seasons. Not only, that's a lot. And then I started The Irrational on Peacock. So that's That's my detective show. But yeah, the detective shows are always good because, yeah, it's like those mysteries, like, who done it? But all right.
My God, what's next on your weekly grab?
Next on my weekly grab is a reality show, but it's lifestyle based. So because I watch all this, like, you know, lifestyle-y type content on Roku, they know who I am. They know who I is and they know what I like. So I had signed into Roku for some reason, probably to check out my little tiny B&B show or something. And then I saw this show, Listing Large, suggested for me. And so I watched, I was like, let me check it out. I saw that it was like two Black professionals in the real estate business. You know, I'm always into those. And so I watched the first episode. Girl, I was hooked. Hooked, baby. Finished the whole season. It's 10 episodes. They're each like 30 minutes each. I finished the whole season in a few days. So basically it follows on again, off again, real estate duo, Odean and Lamont of Toronto's.
Odean and Lamont.
Yes, they are very much. I mean, I'm not sure if Odean is Jamaican, but Lamont is super Jamaican Toronto. Like, his accent is so funny and adorable. Their real estate company is called We Group, based on their last names. And so they are professionals. They worked together for years, but they have tried dating like twice in the past, and it just didn't work out. Odine says that it's like Lamont's indecisiveness, probably, like, you know, one of those, like, he's like willing to not commit type. They're both very, very attractive though. So they're running their joint realty business while navigating their romantic life, like considering, like, should we give this a go again? They're building a team of realtors, building an investment property that they were going to move into together before they broke up. And right. So Lamont ended up letting Odine keep it. So she's turning it into an investment property. And then he bought a whole other property, but is having her help him design the house, like interior design it, because that's her thing. All the while, they're navigating if they should rekindle their romance. Odine is considering dating people. She hires a matchmaker. She's going on dates. You start seeing Lamont get jealous. And it's so cute, right? So we also get to follow the realtors and their lives as it relates to the brokerage. So one is Odine's assistant, who is determined to succeed because he loves working for Odine, but he also really wants to be a real estate agent himself. So he starts studying for the exam, and it starts to impact his job as her assistant. Then you have one that just revealed that she's expecting her first child. So she's just trying to do as much as she can before she goes on maternity leave. Then there's another one, the young woman that she just started. And then over time, she ends up getting pregnant. I mean, I'm pretty sure she was pregnant when they started out, but she didn't want to make her announcement. One, it was early. And then two, the other girl made her. So she was like, I ain't going to say nothing until I'm showing.
And that's so sweet of her to kind of give her that moment. Like, let me wait.
Right. Yeah. then there's this one cocky realtor named Crystal, who is Lamont's sister-in-law. So it's like, she already has like an up, because one, she has the most experience. Two, she's married to Lamont's brother. So it's just like, she just already has like this relationship that the other agents don't have. And so it just creates this level of competition. Then on top of that, she gets her young, fresh, out of school with no experience daughter, a job at the firm. And then because Odine is so busy doing other things, she ends up enlisting Crystal with this position of like coaching manager type. So now Crystal, who's already bossy and competitive, she's now overseeing all the other agents. And you can tell she likes that power.
They all like that, don't they?
Right. And yeah, they don't like her. So you see the little in-office attitude. And then another agent that used to be with We Realty before they even had an office, she returns because she took a year off from maternity leave. So it's just really cute. And then in the end, you kind of just see what Odine and Lamont decide as it relates to getting back together. So I really, really enjoyed the show. I hope they get a season two, because now I'm invested. Mm. And yeah, I love, you know, guys know I love shows about homes, houses, renovations. So all of that's included on top of that lifestyle aspect. So really, really good one, Roku. I'm here for it. Listing large on Roku.
It sounds like what Love and Marriage Huntsville used to be.
No, I mean, no. Kind of like Love and Marriage Huntsville did kind of start with an element of like actually following their careers in real estate. But Love and Marriage Huntsville was never, Carlos don't give a damn about no home renovations and selling properties and showing them. Like, you're actually watching them. Every episode has the element of real estate. Like, they are going to homes, showing it to clients, hosting. It's more of like Married to Real Estate with Egypt and Mike meets Selling Sunset.
Okay.
That's what it is. And then it's way more diverse, because these people are Black, white, it's Toronto. So it's everyone, but with the owners being two Black, like Caribbeans, it's just more cultural. So yeah, no, not Love and Marriage at all. Cause it's not, Love and Marriage just totally, remember the first season, they talking about, so how did you get over Martell cheating on you? Like, no. They actually, everybody is very, very proper, very professional. When it gets a little catty, it's still in such a relatable way. Yeah, yeah, like you just, especially if you're somebody, if you're a professional and you work in a professional environment and it doesn't get ghetto like that, then it's like you could relate to how they're handling these little riffs. Cause it's like, you already know, don't get too crazy. Cause the one assistant, he's gay. So he's the one that is the most combative towards Crystal. And at one point she like comes at him because he asked one of the agents to help him with a project he was supposed to do. However, you saw earlier in the season where the agent asked him to come stage a house for her with her at 6 a.m. and he did it. So now all he's doing is just asking her to return the favor. Like, hey girl, I got to get all these documents into these folders and I'm trying to get enough done before Lamont and Odine show up. And here comes Crystal while the agent is helping him. And she's like, that's not your job. She should be doing her job. Why do you have her doing your job? And he's like, well, I just needed some assistance. And I helped her stage a house before, which he didn't need to throw the other girl under the bus, but he did. And so then Crystal's like, well, you need to do your job on your own. And so he claps back at her like, okay, bye. So, yeah, but it doesn't get too crazy. And that's something I can relate to, Miss. I've lost so many jobs from snapping back at the Crystals in the office. But there's always going to be a Crystal in the office. And it's more about finding that common ground so that you don't burn the bridge, especially if you're in an industry that you want to excel in. And since he does want to, he comes around. And so you see towards the end of the season, like everybody gets along. You know, you're always going to kind of have those little things with people. You're not going to get completely along with everybody, but there should always be some respect. So yeah. Yes. It's a good show. It's a good show.
I might put it on and see what happens with Lamont and Odine.
Yeah, I think you would like it. I think you would like it because it also just highlights the Toronto luxury real estate market. Then you're seeing all this snow because it was shot during their winter. But, you know, they always have winter. They do have a summer. But, child, it just is snowing. There's snow everywhere. I could never. I only said I would move to Toronto when we were talking about the exodus, if Trump became president and where everybody would go. And I was like, I would go to Toronto because it's the most like New York. But yeah, it's really cold. Really cold. But all right, let's talk about what's last on our weekly grab since we have it in common. I'll let you go first.
That is the reunion of Summer House, Martha's Vineyard. Yes. I caught up like all before came out, so nice. I just saw like the last three episodes, and then I saw the reunion, and it was interesting, to say the least. I think that I feel very sad for Nick and Tayshia, and I don't know why. I just feel like she's a really nice girl who probably really liked him, but didn't want all of this smuck, and I don't think he made it like the easiest. But I also feel like, had they not been on television, you know, they could have worked out. But I also know that Nick is not going to stop his bag. And I feel like this is a good, you know, I like Nick on the show. So I ultimately feel like he's going to come back. You know, sorry, Tayshia didn't work out. My other strong opinion is that Bria really is like annoying. She's so sweet, but she looks like she's annoying. Just like, just a lot.
And I really just don't understand why that wasn't addressed at the reunion. So much stuff was just skated by because they were only given one part. And it was just unfortunate. But I really hope that from all the discourse that they're seeing around the reunion, that Bravo sees like, okay, we have something here. So let's bring it back for season 3 and give them a proper reunion.
I feel like they're kind of building their momentum, especially now more than ever. Because even last season, you didn't see them do any type of promo like this. So I feel like, to your point, season 3, they're going to have like 12, 16 episodes. They're going to have more than 8 episodes. Because they have a lot of drama now, they might expand it. They might have more friends of. Like, I could see it kind of growing, to your point, and giving them 2 hours, because it's a lot to rush all of that stuff in one. Like, 1 hour. That's like, to your point, it was very condensed. Like, we got to get through these hot. Alex was inside of you, Summer.
So I even watched the extended version on Peacock, and we only got like a little, literally like 5 extra minutes. Just you, and you got to hear the curse words. There was just so much left untouched. But again, still a great show. I would like more clarity on why everyone hates Jasmine. It really is just coming off like people are just hating that exact word. I can see how she sticks up for herself because she was calling him out, especially with Preston. And I didn't really even know that she's the nucleus of the group. So she's the Mariah, right, of Married to Medicine. Like, she is the reason everybody came together because she was friends with everyone. So Preston being Silas's line brother, that was her. He was in her wedding. I do find it crazy that he would be okay going on a vacation to Jamaica and knowing that she wasn't invited and then not trying to be that common ground as he's supposed to be.
And inviting Jordan over her instead of trying to use that trip to mend the, at least give her the opportunity to say no, but not even inviting her is crazy.
Crazy. And that's supposed to be your friend. Like, y'all had the history. It's just crazy to me. So it already seems like he's picking sides and being disloyal to someone that he actually has history with. Then he's on Twitter after the reunion, like trying to defend himself and still not saying nothing. I'm like, unless y'all can say a concrete answer as to what your problem is with Jasmine, you're all hating. I can understand people having issues with Silas because Silas was a lot. But also, Preston, that's your line brother. So Silas ain't nothing that you didn't already know.
Right.
So is Jasmine just a result of a fallout with Silas, or what is the issue? Because something's not adding up. Jordan just seems really bitter. Mm-hmm. And that didn't get addressed. Her attitude throughout the season, that didn't get addressed. Shanice, like, Jasmine was like, what did I do to you? Nothing. It's just like, I didn't want to shut the hell up. And I also didn't like how it wasn't even really addressed, like the double standards with her just getting away with being naked all the time around these men that are in relationships. Mm-hmm. Men, you over here basically bragging about being a low class hoe. You sleep with athletes and you're not getting money, nothing, and just giving people your body that you just parade around. There's some deep rooted issues there. I'm sure we'll unpack that as time goes on. And then the fact that Summer was even more of a terror behind the scenes, or actually on the show, it was caught on camera that wasn't put on the show. A lot of it was edited out, and you're finding this out now through interviews, post reunion interviews. So I just think there's still a lot there. I still believe that a cast shakeup is needed. I mean, even though I think Bria is a brat and she gets away with it, I'm still fine with her returning. I'm fine with her returning and Silas because that's still her husband. And I like Nick and I like Noelle. But I'm going to be honest. I think Alex is boring. I don't really, I would still be okay with him returning just because it just adds to the dynamic. He's single. Maybe we'll get a little bit more out of him, but I just think he is trying to be too cool for the cameras. Even when Andy's like asking him questions at the start of the reunion and he's like, oh, like, what's your mindset? And he's like, just be myself. Boy, you ain't cool. Like, cut it out. So I don't know. I'm not getting much from him. Like I said, Jordan, they'll most likely bring her back because clearly now she's got this like HBIC role, but I don't think it's deserved because it's like, girl, what do you really bring? And then Summer, I'm so over Summer. She's so dramatic, crying and stuff, but you're really a mean girl. And we're finding that out more and more behind the scenes. And then Preston was just really disappointing, as well as Amir advocating for your girlfriend. Come to find out also, because Noelle's interview with Kate Empire, she said she did confront, she called out Natalie for instigating that situation with Tasia and Nick at the house. And Natalie started crying. And they didn't air that. What the hell? So they didn't air that. And they didn't air Summer putting hands on Shanice. And the fact that Summer did not decide to leave on her own. She was voted out of the house by the whole cast. So, yeah.
The way they edited that is crazy.
Crazy. But yeah, we don't want Amir back and we don't want his girlfriend. So I'm fine with leaving.
I don't want that. I somehow came upon, when I was looking for the video, I found her Instagram page and I found her promoting the show and I just thought that was weird.
Yeah.
And like the comments are like, she's there for clout. Like, I think that he is literally in her ear like, no, she's in his ear like, they better pick me next season. Like, can't go if they don't want me, because I feel like she wants a professional look. She that's why. Was it? She didn't mind, like, do you want me to talk to Tasia?
And right. I also, even I love, him, I just love, I, he admitted, him admitting that, Him admitting that they've only been together a year and a half, then she saw the show. She knew you were on the show. She didn't, you did not, she did, you, she did not start dating you without the status, buddy.
And now you're buying a house with this girl.
But, and put her name on the deed. And no, his name is on the deed. No, his name is on the mortgage and her name is on the deed. Like, boy, he's so pussy whipped. It's so like.
Save this episode. If they break up, she gonna come out and say a lot of stuff, or she gonna try off a housewife. I'm telling you, she gives me very much not as bad as Big Bird, but she gives very old girl from Potomac. Just like I want to be on TV. Like
I was loving all the shade Andy was throwing at Amir, though, because you know Andy had a little crush on Amir.
Yes, the way
he was like, so did she give you permission to propose? Like I love it.
Raise your hand if you think anybody?
And nobody raised their hand. Here comes Jasmine being nice. I think they're cute. Like, oh my God. And he's like, yeah, whatever. He's so whipped. He's like, yeah, he does not care.
People are going to think what they think. It is what it is. You know?
Also, I don't think he's a real friend to Nick either. Because the whole conversation about Nick looking, you know, being too into Shanice being naked. I'm just like, golly. Yeah. So I'm here for more realness. Like, I really like the element Noelle brings. If they can bring on more people that are just more comfortable, really, truly being themselves and not in the way of like, woe is me. Oh, my life sucks. I'm going through a lot. That's Summer. That is Jordan. It's just really, really annoying. Like, I think the show will be better. But all in all, still a good season. Good season.
We come back to three. I want them to bring Nick back because I think Nick would get Alex to be ghetto. And I feel like, to your point, Alex be trying to do too much for the TV. I think he needs somebody to kind of shake his attitude up. So I want them to bring like Nick back more. Because
you mean you mean Phil?
Phil, sorry, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, great. I would like to see Phil return for sure.
Mm-hmm. Poo-poo butt. Yes, but yes. Amazing. Do more season 3. We need 12 episodes.
Yes, we do. Guys, don't forget to like and subscribe, rate and review us on whatever streaming platform that you are listening, and follow us on all social platforms at We Watch Too Much TVTEA with a letter V. All right, now, time for the dragging tin. Time for the dragging tin. Time for our piss. For performance. Okay, who you got, best friend?
Oh, this hurts my heart, but it's real. I have to drag a drag queen, and it's never a good thing because I love drag queens.
Oh, I know.
But Nina West, beautiful. Actress, you why did you bring 20 dresses?
Whack dresses.
I thought when I kept saying this is my lip sync dress, it was like a one and done, and maybe she was going to be naked. But you kept going and going and going and going. I couldn't even see you sing the song. I don't even know if you knew the song, because all you kept was spinning and throwing your clothes off. Gottmik was like, okay, yeah, there's literally a laundry, like a closet. On the gym, it just was too much. Mm-hmm. I think there should be a RuPaul Drag Race rule where, like, you get two reveals, three tops. After that, what else you taking off? It just was chaotic.
I don't think it would have been bad if it was actually good.
Yeah,
we've seen people do multiple reveals in a lip sync, but hers was horrible. The looks were horrible, and no, I don't think she knew the words, because I was looking at her lips when she was performing, and she wasn't really singing the lyrics. Or maybe it's because she was so focused on trying to get her ass out of that next dress. It just was, it was a hot mess. It was all over the place. Wasn't really impressed. And I think that's kind of always been Nina's issue. It's like she lacks polish.
Mm.
Polish. But yeah, we'll more about Drag Race later, because now that I have looked up, we going to get into some things.
So who is dragging this week?
Back to Love and Marriage Huntsville. You know, it's always the men's. It's always the men's. So, of course, Martell, because he's disgusting, but he has now become so disgusting to me. It's so hard for me to look at his face. I really, really think Carlos needs to put him on pause. There is no reason why he is rewarded with being able to share his story on a national platform when he is facing charges of revenge porn against his ex-wife and the mother of his four children. And then we're just watching him try to defend what got him arrested, claiming it was only a photo. But then when they're asking like, well, where's the photo? He's stuttering. You could tell he's lying, claiming that he was bullied by his ex-wife and that's why he threatened her. But he's being so vague with this threat and she's being very detailed. Like, he sent me a video that we filmed together and said that he was going to put it out to the public and make it seem like this was her with another man. So,
to asshole.
He's just so, such a hard person. And when I say he is doubling down, he is doubling down, not trying to take ownership, but we never really have ever seen him take ownership. Like, he is such a disgusting piece of work and I'm just so tired of seeing him. And I'm very rarely one to say get rid of someone because I like controversy. Like, I love controversy in reality television, but he just does not deserve to be rewarded with a paycheck each season and like no real storyline other than how he's harassing his ex-wife because he's so mad that she moved on and changed her name. You know what I mean? Like, he's disgusting. So he's the first one. And then the second one, y'all heard me talking about the Sunny and Moses and Destiny situation where Destiny, she's been on the show. She was dating Moses. That was never on the show. But Moses now, after they stopped dating, he moved on with a former producer of the show. So now we're seeing more of Moses. And then we see this sit down between Moses and Destiny. And Moses is really trying to make excuses to Destiny. First of all, she calls him out on a timeline. So it's revealed that, yes, he started talking to the producer while him and Destiny were still in this phase of like being together, figuring out what they were going to do with their relationship.
But crazy.
He's telling Destiny that, you know, she wasn't giving him enough. He used an excuse that she didn't show up for his birthday party. And you could just tell that he's a baby. Like, he wanted way more attention from her or whatever. And so now you got this fucking producer, former producer, because she got fired. And you could just see all the red flags. I'm like, girl, he about to do you even worse than what he's probably done to every woman he's dated in the past. And you hype because you got a ring. Oh, chow. But he fits right into the dynamic on Love is Marriage Huntsville because most of these men ain't shit. All right. Now we're done dragging. Let's get into who we are supporting in our yes segment. Who you got, best friend?
My yes is bittersweet because one of my favorite shows has come to an end. It got canceled after 7 seasons, and The Good Doctor gave us the final episode ever this past Tuesday, and it was a 20 out of 10. It wrapped up the story in such a way where you understood where Dr. Murphy ends up, where his dad, father figure slash mentor slash friend ends up passing away, where his family ends up, like his effect on like his future and how he didn't let his autism get in the way of anything. It just was perfect. And I was like, why is this show ending? I know I'm not the only person who watches it. Oh, I was just so emotional because it was just a really good ending. They just did it in a way where you feel complete, like you know everybody's going to end up. And it just was a really good show. So Good Doctor, I will miss you. I'm probably going to watch you over from season one, like over the summer. I don't have any more to say because it just was so good. And I'm going to miss you, Good Doctor.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace. Dr. Sean Murphy, the fictional best doctor ever.
the good doctor. My yes is going to Cara Maria of the Challenge All-Stars for getting her karma this last episode and Laurel yelling all up in her face, especially after her low blow. It was just all really good to watch, you know, like after her low blow about Nicole's accent, just because she failed at persuading her to change her vote. It was just further proof, like, Cara, you're a brat. And this whole episode was about the house coming together to take you down. And it was just so beautiful to see. And in the end, the cherry on top was Cam taking Cara Maria Starr. So I was just overall extremely happy with the episode. And I'm not doubting that Cara Maria's ability. She is a force to be reckoned with. I could see her making it to the end if she doesn't get voted out some kind of way, but are eliminated out. But, you know, just when you, and you got to take any moment you can with the challenge because you never know how it could go any kind of way. So right. I'm relishing in this last episode where the house came together to conspire against Cara Maria. And I did not feel sorry for her one bit. Not one
bit. Me either. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. Yeah. She deserved it. Mm-hmm. It just was like, and then just watching her like beg for her life and just, mm-hmm. just everything she did following up to it, it was like, girl, like, yeah. you didn't care about these people. You were talking about these people. Now you're like, just remember what you said. And shout out to Laurel Crazy Behind, because Laurel was not letting up on that girl, okay?
Yes. So, right. Because don't listen. Don't mess with Laurel being pussy whipped by Nicole, okay? Because yeah. this is definitely a Laurel we've never seen before. But at the same time, I don't understand why Cara Maria is so invested. Like, girl, mind your business.
I was going to say, like, she just went up to her and started saying, you're going to get hurt. This right. is not going to work.
Right.
Like, what? Like, best friend, it was random. Like, okay, so you're right. going to get hurt. You don't know what she's doing. Why are you even talking about me? Laurel don't, like, you know, talk to her. Like, why you just did? No, I ain't feeling it. That's some hateration.
Mm-hmm. So with that, we're done with our support, even though mine wasn't really much support for Cara. Now that I have finally caught up with Drag Race, all caught up, baby, it's time for our Drag Race deep dive. Okay, so the last episode was Snatch Game,
which yes,
I always love All Stars because you get Snatch Game early because it's like y'all all veterans, y'all know how it go, baby. The library is open and a Snatch Game. So,
and I like that it's of love. I think it makes it a little bit more interesting.
Yeah.
Because you have to be, it's a different type of wit and humor because you're like dating mm-hmm. these people. So it has to be flirty too. So I always like Snatch Game and love.
So first standout for me was George's pronunciation of John Leguizamo. I was crying. I even had to tell Mark. She called him John Leguizamo, baby. I was weak. It was said it with so much conviction, like John Leguizamo, baby.
And like, then Rock professional was like, all right, girl, how you gonna
be right? Name? I need you to know his name if you're gonna be him. So there was that. Then we have the battle of the two Liberaces, which it's like, why? You always should have a backup. Like everybody knows that. And then when you are Chanel, who hasn't been on the show in years, decades, if you know you're going against Nina West, who is known for her personality, charisma, and all of that, then I would have just went with something else. I'm not going to be the same character as Nina West, who I know is going to outshine me. So that was my take on that. And then honestly, I wasn't really impressed by either Liberace, but I clearly saw how Nina West outshined her completely. Completely.
And this is the thing. Chanel's never done a Snatch Game.
That's right.
All-Stars, when you never did one, the moment, first of all, you're not going to stand out because you're going to be compared to anybody. So I would have been my damn self. I would have been a man. I would have did anything else but that once I knew one other, because now you're not even being compared to the person. You'd be compared to the other person you're competing with and that person. So you can't just like make up certain things on a fly if you Cleopatra like Vanjie and you could just do what you do, because one, you have somebody doing the same exact thing. So I kept screaming at the TV, no, Chanel, change it. Mm-hmm. No. And then I really want to stick to it. I was like, oh my gosh, you about to lose.
Yep, yep, yep. So there's that. Now let's get into who were the standouts to you. Of course, Gottmik was the standout to me from the jump. Those are always the ones that intrigue me the most when somebody's like such a weird character, but it works. Like she was that dog, Lassie. Yes. It was hilarious, like hilarious. I also was impressed with Georges, who bombed her last Snatch Game, but did really well as John Leguizamo's character. I really liked that. And Angeria, I did like Angeria as Marla Gibbs. Those were the three standouts for me. Who were your favorites?
Oh my God. I was going to say Injury, but I just think Vanjie is hilarious. I thought Vanjie, when she was like, I'm on my pyramid. I was like, oh, I'm going to start saying that.
I'm on my pyramid. Yes. Vanjie.
She just like, I get what Rue was saying, I think, or Michelle was like, it was just Vanjie being Vanjie. She didn't like do too many clips, but she's still so funny with it. It just was hilarious. I thought that Plastic Tiara was so bad. It was hilarious. Like, you know, when somebody's so bad, like I was laughing at her. She was trying so hard. I was like, this beautiful woman is not funny. And she knows it.
She knows it.
She knows it. Foxy, you got to give an E for effort. But I was like, no, that didn't work.
No, no. The flops for me was definitely Plastique. I know you like Vanjie, but I just wasn't, outside of the pyramid joke, I just wasn't impressed. Sometimes I just be feeling like Vanjie is just going with the vibes, and then it works because she is naturally funny from her, like, just her cluelessness, but I wasn't really impressed. Roxy, I know she wanted to resurface her character from her original Snatch Game, but it fell flat with me. And then Chanel's Liberace, I wasn't impressed by. And I also wasn't impressed by Raven's lip fillers. I just like, I cannot believe how Raven has transformed. It was funny seeing when Vanjie came around to reveal herself, but she's like, oh, it's Raven.
Exactly. Or David.
David, right. But granted, you got money now, but it's like, damn, you really changed your entire face. It's insane.
I did like that they had them dressed in like their male selves. It was when they exchanged, or Kevin, it was Raven, aka David, aka lip filler. But I thought that was cute. Instead of bringing in someone famous, I thought that was cute and different. But I agree with the flops. Overall, it was really good and really interesting. And I agree with the winners too. And Jiria was a very close third. She was a very close third.
Yes, yes, yes. Runway, best looks. What was the category again?
A tail and two titties.
That's yes. So
like tail and boobs.
Yes, yes. It was a good one. The standouts for me, got Mick fucking eights. So deserved every win she got this episode. George's close second to me. I loved her look with the like a little chihuahua. She said everybody
Yes, it really looked like her though. It really looked like her. Yes. I just want to put in it.
And Jeria looked really good. She's been looking good every one way. And so Roxy as Jessica Rabbit mixed with Roger Rabbit.
Eight
across the board. Who were there any ones that you felt were a flop runway wise or that you really loved that stood out?
I really liked Plastique. I like that feel like this season, she's very much owning her Asian culture. She's putting like a word to it, almost everything she does, even her charities, like for Asian American culture. I just really appreciate that she's just bringing her authentic heritage. So I just love what Plastique wore. And of course, got Mick. We also love that she makes a statement. I loved Roxy's. And I also thought Vanjie's was definitely like just some LED lights. That's what. And then I think Michelle said something about it looking basic from the front. And then she was like, well, the pants don't fit me like this when they basic. I was like, what is going on?
Hilarious.
But I think like just this, the cast is only eight of them. And like, I don't hate any of them. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I genuinely like them. I feel like the drama they have is going to be surface, or at least that's what it's looking like. Stuff may change, but I thought this was one of my favorite runways for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, so far the runways have been really good, but the Tale of Two Titties was like really, really good. So far, who were the standouts to you? The standouts for me are Got Mick, Angeria, and Georges. Those are so far my three favorites who are just delivering as it relates to challenges and runway. What about you?
Definitely Got Mick. Definitely Angie. I would add like Roxy in there as like top three.
Okay.
And then I had to round it on. I think Plastique would be like a sneak attack. I think Plastique has a lot up her sleeve, especially when we get into more design challenge. I know the makeover challenge is coming next. I feel like she'll be good at that. But I feel like those are probably the top or the most ones with the badges thus far. Have you been doing the math, like Roxy, about like if you get a badge and you lose a badge, you got to give it away and then take it back?
I've been getting lost. I'm getting lost with the badge. I'd rather the chocolate or something. I don't know. But yeah.
You said I'd rather the chocolate.
I'd rather the chocolate. And then who would we want to see more from? So for me so far, I feel like I always love when they bring back the older queens, but Chanel, it's just like, I'm just not really feeling the runway looks. I love that she's, you know, kind of reminding us of that essence of drag, that original essence of drag, but I'm just not really impressed. Some of the fits just aren't fitting her properly. And then challenge wise, she's not delivering to me, but that's not to say that it won't change in the future where there could be a challenge where she really stands out. Vanjie, again, I love Vanjie. I love who she is just personally. She's so funny. I love her confessionals, her mispronunciations, but always I can see how her runway looks are elevating season after season, because this is now her third season, only like second real one where she got to spend some time, because we all know her first one, she got sent home first. But I'm just still not really impressed, especially as, you know, some of the other girls are just really eating it up. So I would just want to see more from her. Nina West, we already know Tanea just ate her up earlier. And then Nina West in runway, not in challenges. And then Plastique in challenges, not in runway. What about you?
I agree. I also say that I feel like Vanjie has personality and that could win. So I'm hoping that,
right,
you know, I think the makeover challenge could be good for her. I think like another like improv or acting challenge could be a good thing for her as well. But to your point, she hasn't been like a standout. I feel like there's people that's been standing out, especially on the runway, like a Gottmik. She's such an artist and like she really studies fashion, like literally her art. When they had to do the art piece or the ball, she got things from like the runway, like from Versace, like from, I forgot the other designer, but there were two designers that like made it fresh from the runway to her body. So I think when you see it like that, to your point, you want Nina West and the Vanjie's to step up. I feel like Plastique, to your point, you know, more of her personality is showing, but I think she has more to show. But also to your point, like Chanel, I think it's a lot of good competition. I'm not saying Chanel isn't competition, but it's a different competition.
Right.
And so she kind of got to play the game a little differently. Because like she said, she's the first queen ever. It's over 100 plus queens now. It's been almost 20 years or something like that. So 15, 20 years. So, yeah, I agree.
All right. But I'm so happy Drag Race is back. So we'll be, of course, breaking it down as the episodes continue. But all right, y'all, it is time to close it out with some positive affirmation quotes, sayings. What you got, best friend?
And words of wisdom. Nobody can go back and start a new beginning, but anyone can start today and make a new ending. From Maria Robinson, whoever she is.
Okay. Mine's is, you can rise up from anything. You can completely recreate yourself. Nothing is permanent. You're not stuck. You have choices. You can think new thoughts. You can learn something new. You can create new habits. All that matters is that you decide today and never look back. And that is from averstew.com on Pinterest. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And on that note, follow us at We Watch Too Much TV, TEAV, on all social platforms. Don't forget to like and subscribe, rate and review, or whatever streaming platform you are listening to us. And tune in next week because we will be back.
And give us your opinions. We like opinions.
Please. Social media, whatever. What's our closest slogan, best friend?
Love, abundance, and really nice hair bundles for the summer.
Yes. Our braids.
Oh, yes. Or braids, because that's what we're doing all summer. Braid time.
Let your scalp breathe. All right, guys. Bye.
Bye.